and my first lady, you know, to the other ministers who are absent. You know, we just honor God, you know, for just being in his presence. Because in his presence is the fullness of joy. You talking about joy. Get in the presence of God. It flows like a river. So I just thank God for each and every last one of you, our musicians, to everyone in their respective places. Just glad y'all came out on today, you know, to hear the word of God. Let us bow our heads for a moment of prayer, because we need the Holy Spirit in everything that we do. Father God, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, once again I come before you, Lord God, humble as I know how, Lord God, just asking, Lord God, that you once again have your way, do what you want to do, say what you want to say. Lord, I decrease on today, and I ask, Lord God, that you increase in me. Lord, I ask, God, that you touch your people on today, Lord, like only you can. Lord, I just thank you right now for your power moving right now on the hearts of your people. I thank you right now for lining up their thoughts with your thoughts. I thank you right now, Father, for pouring into us on today. For we need you right now, Father. Our hands are lifted, Lord God. Our hearts are ready to receive, Lord God. And we thank you right now, Father. Some need a healing on today, Lord God. And you know, God, you are the healer, Lord God. Some need a counselor on today, Lord God. You are the counselor on today, Lord. Some need, Lord God, to be delivered and set free. You, Lord God, are the freer, Lord God. You said in your word, whom the Son made free is free indeed. And we thank you right now, Father. We know, God, that everything is working together for the good of those that love you and who are called according to your purpose. We thank you right now, Father. Don't let nobody leave the same way they came, but let them be enlightened by your word on today, Lord God. We thank you right now, Father, for those that are on their way, Lord God. Put running in their feet. Let them know, God, that they need you, Jesus. That there's nothing they can do without you, Lord God. Don't let them forget you on today, this holy day, this blessed day, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Lord, I thank you right now. I give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Glory be to God. If you would, I won't be before you long. However God lead, but we just going to go with the flow. But if you would, open up your Bibles to Mark, the 9th chapter. And we're going to start at the 2nd verse. And I just really honor the Lord on today, and I thank God for just taking us. I just feel so different, so liberated. And I don't want this feeling just to be about me, but I just thank God. I mean, I'm growing, and I thank God for growth. Amen. I just really bless the Lord, because that's what God wants us to do, grow. Yeah, that's right. He wants us to move. And I thank God I moved out of my old house, and I moved into a new house.
Yeah, yeah.
And I changed from my old thoughts, and I moved into some new thoughts. And it's better doing things God's way.
Uh-huh.
Oh, if man would praise me for all of my benefits.
Yeah, yeah.
Mark, the 9th chapter, is a very familiar passage of scripture. You know, for those of you who have read your Bible, you know, nothing new under the sun. But starting at the 2nd verse, it reads, "And after 6 days, Jesus taketh with him Peter and James and John, and leadeth them up into an high mountain, apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. And his raiment became shining, exceeding white as snow, so as no fuller on earth can white them. And there appeared unto them Elias with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. And Peter answered and said to Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. And let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. For he wist not what to say, for they were sore afraid. If I could use for a thought for today, it would be, before there can be a revelation, there first has to be a transformation. I'm going to say that again. Before there can be a revelation, there first has to be a transformation. Here we find in this passage of scripture, the Lord does things so systematically. He takes with him three of his chosen disciples to a place that they had never been before. But being they were in his inner circle, he was able to take them to a place because they were ready to receive. So he took them high up on the mountain, and he began to transform himself before them. Which goes back to my text. Before there can be a revelation, there has to be a transformation. Before we can go any higher than where we are today, we got to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, which is an indication we can't stay where we are right now. Where you are right now, you cannot stay. For God is calling us higher. I know you may want to stay, but where you are right now, you cannot stay. Now, Peter being, very zealous, that was one of his attributes, very zealous. He said, Lord, he didn't really understand where he was. All he knew was they needed to follow the master. He didn't understand at that moment where he was, so he was speaking out of fear, like some of us do. We don't understand the moment, the season that we're in, so we go to rattling off at the mouth things that we shouldn't say because of our given circumstance. So he say, wow. I know where I am is a good place. I want to savor the moment. So let's build some booths. Let's build some shelters so we can keep this moment. How many things that God be trying to get us to move from and we want to hold on to the moment? We want to stay in the same place, the same mindset. So he was thinking about in Leviticus when around the 23rd chapter when Moses delivered the children of Israel from bondage. The God, the Father, required them to stay in booth for 7 days. So his mind was going back to the old way of thinking. You remember when Jesus was talking to his disciples? He said, I didn't come to do away with the law and the prophets, but I came to fulfill. But because Peter's mind was still back in the day, even though he was in another place, his mind kept reminiscing to back then. When God is trying to take us forward, we got to let our mind go to those places that God is trying to take us. We can't keep going back to the old way. So Peter began to talk out of turn. He said, well, they did it back then. Let's go ahead and build a booth, build a shelter, because I don't want you to go, Lord. See, prior to this meeting, God had already explained to his disciples in the chapter before this, the 8th chapter. He said, I'm going to a place. But before I get there, I'm going to suffer many things at the hand of man. Yeah. He said, I'm going to be lied on. I'm going to be killed. But in 3 days, I'm going to rise.
Right.
So Peter, you know, looking at things the way they are, he said, no. I want to keep you here. But if Jesus didn't move, if he didn't transform, that couldn't have been a revelation of the Comforter to come. Sometimes we got to be willing to let go some stuff so that we can get in the right place that God has for us. We can't hold on to yesterday, used to be's, I wish I shoulda, coulda, woulda. Sometimes we got to let it go. Paul say, forgetting those things that are behind me and pressing forth to those things that are before me. We got to deal with issues at hand right now. And the only way to be able to deal with the issues at hand right now in a more effective way, we got to move our mind. We can't go back. So the Lord began to rebuke Peter. He did it in a subliminal way. He did it in a way. He didn't say, I adjure you, Peter, Satan, come out. But he told him, he say, wait a minute, Peter, you talking about what they did in Leviticus, but this is he. I'm with you now. My son is right here now. You talking about the law of Moses, but these are the things that they talked about. He is he. He say, so forget the old way.
Yeah.
He say, God began to take them in a cloud, began to transform their mind.
Right.
You know, in the chapter before that, God was asking all his disciples. He say, whom do men say that I am? And every last one of them had something to say about who men say that Jesus was.
Yeah.
But Peter, being the zealous person again, he blurted out, he said, thou art the Christ. Okay, God turns around, he say, flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you, Peter. So in other words, Peter had tapped into a realm that God was trying to keep him in.
Yeah.
And in the ninth chapter, this is that realm. He say, okay, since you said I am the Christ, let me show you my deity. Let me show you that greater on the inside of me is bigger than what you see right now.
Yeah.
So he began to transform himself.
Uh-huh.
Like God wants us to transform ourselves. We say we want a closer walk with God. We say we want to be in heavenly places with God. We say, Lord, we sing the song, just to be where you are.
Yeah.
He say, well, transform your mind. We'll never get to heaven in this fleshly body.
No.
We are mind, spirit, and soul. He trying to take us to a place in the spirit realm where we can stay. It's the spirit realm that dictates to us in the flesh, and it helps us be able to deal with things in this fleshly earth and on this fleshly earth.
Yeah.
So he said, okay, I am he. And what did the Spirit have to tell Peter? Sometimes we, instead of listening, he said, listen. In other words, be quiet. You ain't said enough.
Right.
He said, listen, the man you talked about, Here he is. I am spirit. Here he is. So in order for them to better understand who Jesus was before he sent the Comforter, if you understand who I am now looking at me eye to eye, how you gonna understand me in the spirit? I'm sending the Comforter. He said, if I tell you earthly things and you believe not, how you gonna believe spiritual things? So he's trying to make it plain for them so that they wouldn't err, because, like I said, God is so systematic. He already knew what was going to transpire before it transpired. That's why he took them up. He could have transformed himself and transfigured himself in the midst of all the disciples. But he said there are many that are called, but only a few that are chosen. Yeah. I count it a privilege to be on the chosen end of the spectrum. Yeah. Because God can deal with me on another level more so than he can with just commoners. It's time to go higher.
Yeah.
God birthing in every last one of us his spirit. How long are you going to keep him in a manger? He ready to grow up on the inside of us. How long are we going to still be singing goo-goo and ga-gas and lullabies? God trying to get us to sing a new song. He's trying to get us to go to another level. And the only way we can get there, we got to take our minds higher. You looking at yourself, what you did, and you saying, this is over for me. But I'm here to tell you, it's not over for you. God is just making it so very uncomfortable for you to be in that same level. He's trying to take you to a new level, trying to do something new in our lives. And here we all want to hold on. Yeah, sometimes change hurts. Sometimes change is difficult, but in order to get to that revelated plan, a revelation is a futuristic vision. It's futuristic. You don't need revelations now. Revelations dictate what the future is going to be. And before you can get in that place where you say, I may not know what my future may hold. But guess what? I know who hold my future.
Yeah.
So it ain't nothing, you know, my present day may seem glim, but that's not going to dictate to how my future day is going to be.
Right.
Because I know I'm not supposed to look at things the way they are.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all he was trying to birth out of Peter, James, and John. If you notice throughout every transition that Jesus went through in the Bible as it relates to changing. See, when he asked Peter, James, and John again to go to the Garden of Gethsemane with him to pray, he was finna be transformed from this earthly body. He had already showed them, but Peter, being zealous again, forgot. Just like us. He say it's just like getting yourself ready in a mirror,
yeah,
combing your hair, brushing your teeth. And then when you leave, you forget what you look like.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of these scenarios. God don't want us to forget what we look like. He say, Peter, all that word I gave you, I revelated myself to you when nobody else had the right answer. You knew the right answer.
Yeah.
And here I am before you. And you looking at it out of your flesh, fleshly eyes. To be carnal-minded is death. But to be spiritual-minded is life and peace. You got to know in every area of your life, God is ordering our footsteps. It may not seem like he's ordering our footsteps, but he is ordering each and every last one of our footsteps. God know our ending before he knew our beginning. He know our beginning and he know our ending. He know what we going to do, when we going to do it, how we going to do it. But God want us to stay in the spirit. See, if you read on, Peter, they didn't understand the moment. Sometimes you can't even see the forest for the trees. And we know trees make up the forest, but sometimes we miss the point. We miss what God is doing in our life because we be looking for him in everything and everybody instead of recognizing him when he comes. And that's what happens when we see things in our carnality. You can't see what God is trying to take you for looking at where you are. God, take your eyes off of where you are and go where God is trying to take you.
Yeah.
See, Peter was the main one. When it got down to Jesus being forsook, He said, Lord, I never leave you. I never do things displeasing to you. I never renege on my promise to you. But he was the first one to deny because he didn't understand the moment. God was trying to take them out of that fleshly realm, was trying to put them in that spirit realm, because he had already told them some battles you fight, you can't fight in the flesh. You got to fight them in the spirit. But here Peter again, they finna take away my Lord. They finna take away my Savior. I'm finna cut your ear off. I'm fighting in my flesh. When God was trying to get them to recognize, if I don't go, you can't keep me here. If I don't go, the Comforter can't come. God is bigger than our little world. He's bigger than our little area. If they had built them tabernacles to keep them there, then what about the rest of the world? He said, I come to fulfill the law, but it was good. It wasn't so good for them to have been there. It was good for them to have been asked to be there. It ain't us, but it's the power that worketh on the inside of us. He said, this is my beloved son. You need to hear him. How many times we can't hear what God is saying for always talking, always asking, always begging? Sometimes he be wanting to speak. Not he got to listen to us. He hears us. He ain't got to listen. He already hear us.
Yeah.
Sometimes he want us to listen so we can get a deeper understanding. Because there's some things that went on in my life I didn't understand. And I didn't know I was calling the devil what he was doing. I was calling it God. And I was calling it God what he was doing, the devil. And I'm not the only one that's been like that, calling a situation. I noticed the devil when it was God working, birthing something out of me.
Yeah.
But we don't see it when we're looking at it in our carnality. But he said, this is my son in whom I am well pleased. So God can't take us to another level until we're willing to go. He said we got to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. We got to bring this into obedience of God. This always goes against the knowledge of God. This always contradicts what God say. So he said, I'm trying to help you. Everything we go through in life is to teach us and prepare and to prepare us for what is coming after this. He said, I've been Jehovah Jireh. Remember when you have nothing? Remember when I brought you from here to here? He said, I was your Jehovah Jireh. Now you don't believe that I'm Jehovah Rophi. I said, I told you I'm Jehovah Jireh. So now you sick. I delivered you. I healed you. But you don't remember that. You remember, only thing you remember is where you are right now. He said, if I were Jireh then, I'm Rophi now. You got to move with where I'm taking you. You can't keep me in a box.
No.
And we don't realize that's what we do. We keep God in the manger. He's trying to grow up and be a boy. He's trying to grow up and be a man. But we keep him in the manger. He said, how long are your minds going to be stagnated? How long are you going to keep me in this little one little box? I'm bigger than where you are.
Yeah.
He said, only if you believe, you can move higher.
Mm-hmm.
Only if you believe, all things are possible.
Yeah.
He said, if I did it once, I can do it again.
Right.
But who willing to take the stand? Who willing to stand right there and wait on him? Not too many people. Because we always want something quick, fast, and in a hurry.
Yeah.
And the thing that kills us, we know he can do it. But we just too weak to wait on him. We know he able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask and think. That's no question about who God is.
Right.
We just too impatient to wait on him, to wait right there. If he did it, he can do it again. He the same God yesterday, today, and forever.
Yeah.
He don't change.
That's right.
we change. If he don't come quick, fast, and in a hurry, we give up. If he don't come right away, Lord, I need you right away, he may say, no, I'm going to make you wait. And we got to be willing to say, yeah, Lord, I'm away.
Yeah.
But we don't want to do that. We want things quick, fast, and in a hurry. So he said, take your eyes off of what you think you see. And look at this thing in the spirit realm. I'm preparing you for something to come that is greater. It's greater. You know, the question was asked by John P. Key. Is it better for Jesus to have been born, or is it better for him to have died? Well, that's an isomoron, because he was born to die.
Right.
So if he don't die, if it's no death, then it's no birth. You see what I'm saying? He was born to die.
Right.
So some questions just can't be answered. We just got to go with the flow. Now one of them is greater than the other. They both are great. I'm grateful he was born. And I'm also grateful he died. But because of his death, I have a right. So he say, no, I didn't send you to be right here, to put me in a shrine, because that's what he wanted to do. I sent you to the lost sheep. To those people, I sent you to your neighbor, to your co-workers, to your homeboys, to your homegirls. This thing is bigger. Until we realize God is not going to take us any higher until we willing to go. He said if you willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and you rebel, you shall be devoured. God said those words because we all have a choice. Sometimes we talk out of fear. We say things out of fear. And especially when the odds are stacked up against us. When the odds are for us, we ain't talking fear. We like, glory! God did it. It looked good. But it's in those bad moments when we backed all the way up against the wall. Are we still going to hold on to our confession that God is great and he is good? God is just looking for somebody not to stay where they are, but to move to the next level. He wants us to grow in him. He say, grow in grace. Everything that God does in our life is for a reason, and it's for a season. It ain't going to always be the way it is. But the enemy wants you to say, it is it. This is it. It's not it. It's not over. God is trying to usher us. Sometimes, bad, he got to make us get in a place that he already ordained for us to be in. All of us are sitting in heavenly places. But it's what we choose to do. Are we going to keep our mind fixed on him? Or are we going to keep being tossed to and fro? Like a sea on the sea, like a ship on the sea without a sail. If we don't stand for anything, we're going to fall for everything. God looking for some believers that's willing to take the stand. He's looking for somebody that's willing to go to the next level. God can't do nothing for us until we open.
Yep.
He got to open up our mind. Open up our hearts to be able to receive. There's no place we can go if we're not willing to go. God is a gentleman. He's not gonna make us go. He can make us, but he's not. The choice is up to us. You saying, Lord, take me higher. Show me the mysteries of you. Show me your glory. I need your glory. Less of me, more you. And then when he say, okay, this is the path that I want to take you on to get to my glory. You say, no, Lord, no, I want your glory, but I want to stay right here. I want to hold on to where I'm at right here. But he keeps saying, turn it loose. Let it go. Turn it loose. You can't speak positive on let it go, turn it or lose. You can't say, but Lord, you said I got to hold on to it, remember your word. No, when God speaks, it's yes and amen. When God say, turn it or lose, you can't hold on to it. When God say, go higher, you can't stay where you at. When God say a word, see, we got to recognize when he said, and then we can do with it. We got to go with what God say. He say, I'm the Redeemer. I know the plan. Just like he told it to Jeremiah, he telling it to us. I know the plan. I know who going to do what, who going to say what. I know. He say, I know I'm God. He say, but I got a plan for each and every last one of you. I had the plan for Jeremiah. I told him to say it. In the 29th chapter, he said, I had the plan. It's already laid out before the foundations of the world. It was not a shock when Peter denied God, because he already told him to his face, you're going to deny me. But Peter said, no, Lord, I never deny you, because he was caught up in the moment. He was free at the moment. But your free got to carry on over to the next minute. So you can be free this minute and then bound the next minute. See, God is trying to stabilize our mental state. He don't want us to be free this moment, bound this moment. I'm talking of faith this moment. I'm talking defeat the next moment. See, that's what he was trying to work out of Peter. He was trying to work that out of him, because he knew something was coming greater. And he needed Peter to understand it. That's why Peter said in the first Peter 4, he talked about, this ain't something I'm telling y'all, but this something I witnessed about Jesus Christ. I ain't just telling y'all he suffered, but I was there. I watched him suffer. And he didn't think it strange of the fiery trial. See, God is trying to get us out of, wow, that blew my mind. Wow, I wasn't prepared for this. Oh, wow. He's trying to get us out. He's trying to get us in the realm. Whatever come my way, my life is in your hand. Well, however the wind blow, it's okay with me, because my life is in your hand. He was trying to work that out of Peter now. I know you want to keep me here, but I'm not going to be here with you always. He said in John the 14th chapter, if I don't go, the comforter can't come. The comforter is who you need. You got me in the flesh. And I don't doubt for one moment. While they was in his presence, I would want to keep him. I'm not going to lie. If I had the opportunity to meet Jesus in the flesh like I'm looking at you, then I would feel a certain kind of way too if he told me he had to go. But he didn't just tell them he was leaving. He said, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm sending my spirit. And it's going to dwell in you each and every day. And you don't have to worry about saying the wrong thing and doing the wrong thing, because it's going to lead and guide you into all truth. So sometimes you may wonder about, is this real? Is this the truth? The Holy Spirit will let you know. He says, so I can't stay here, Peter. I got to move on up a little higher. I got to go to a place that I'm preparing for you, James, John, and all of the believers that love me. I'm going to get it right for y'all to come where I'm going. Y'all got to get there. But Peter didn't understand it, because he was caught up in the moment. I want to keep Jesus here. I want to keep him here. You know, you get in that place with God, you be like, Lord, I want to stay in this place. Oh, like this place that I'm in right now. Lord, I want to stay right here. Well, nothing truly bothers me. I want to stay right here. But God is saying, okay, I'm ready to take you higher. You can't stay right here, because it's going to be something else that you got to triumph over. You think you're doing good right now to ignore when people talking crazy to you, to tune them out. You think you're doing good right now, but I'm trying to take you even higher. What about when they slap you? Can you turn the other cheek? I'm trying to take you to another level. What about when you know they don't like you and you got to pray for them? You got to lay hands on them. You got to minister to them. I'm trying to get you to another place.
Yeah.
I'm trying to revelate. I'm trying to show you my glory. But I can't show you my glory because you're trying to hold on to the story. But I'm trying to show you my glory. You're trying to hold on to what it is. But I'm trying to take you to where it can be. So he had to get him in line, like he getting us in line. The message has been coming, and they've been potent. The rebuke's been coming, and they've been hurtful. But God is trying to birth out of us. He wants us to a point. You know, sometimes you can go so low until you be like, Lord, I can't go no further. I surrender all.
Yeah.
He's trying to get us to that point. Well, Lord, I've been hurt for so long. The hurt is just hurt. I'm trying to go further.
Yeah.
But the only way we can do it, we gotta be broken. He's breaking it out of us, that world system, that world mentality. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. You get me, I'm going to get you back. He trying to break up. He said it's no blessing in doing good to those that are good to you.
Right.
He trying to get us to the point, okay, I'm going to be good. I'm going to be good. I'm going to be willing. I'm going to be obedient. Just because it's your word, Lord, it doesn't matter. If you say, feed my enemy, I'm going to feed my enemy. If you say be kind to those that I know mistreat me, I know dogging me out. He's trying to break the fight out of us.
Yeah.
What we fight in our own strength.
Uh-huh.
He want us to lean and depend. He want us to be codependent. That means on him. He don't want us to be independent. He want us to be codependent.
All right.
What we realize, he my source. And I got to get in this place where I'm able to deal with some stuff.
Yeah.
That's the place he's trying to usher us to. But he say, it's something we got to do. We got to deny ourselves.
Yes.
Stop living in the moment. Stop living in the moment. He wants us to go beyond where we are. Some of us, God trying to do the unthinkable. The impossible, something that is so miraculous, but we still holding on to yesterdays. God say, let it go, turn it loose. I already know where you are. He told David, it ain't no way you can go, man, dude, bruh. It ain't no way you can go that I have not already been. He said, if you made your bed in hell, guess what, David? I'm there too.
Right.
So there's nothing you could have done on this earth. There's no place you can go. All them the holes the enemy tried to put us in, God is right there to bring us out. But what we fail to do, we don't realize he there. He ain't in my mess. God is right there to correct your mess. But you don't feel like he there. Because he too God. He said he came to the lost generation. He came to set the captain free. It is the sick people that need the physician. Not the well people, not the right people. It's the wrong people that need God. It's the people that's laden in sin that need the deliverer. So you can't look at where you are. So he corrected Peter. John, James and John, they were just going with the flow. But Peter, I'm thinking he was the leader. Everybody looked up to Peter because he really did have a lot to say. And he was the bold one for the Lord. He was the one, he'll speak out no matter where. And it's obvious he ain't mind fighting. It was obvious he did. So God took that side of him and took him to another level. Took him to another level. God wants us to be witnesses. Only way we can be a witness, we got to have been there.
Right.
That's the only way. That's why it's called a witness. I was there.
Yeah.
I saw it. So God wants us to be a witness for him in his different areas, his many facets. God is not a one-way God. He said he take the foolish things to confound the wise. What looked totally foolish to man, totally insane. You better believe God's hand is somewhere in it. Because it's God's will that we don't put him in a box. And it's God's will that we don't think. See, God is not looking at the fact of how we think to dictate who he is. Because he already know our thinking is off. He say, my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are my ways your ways. As far as the heaven is from earth, that's how far my ways and my thoughts are from you. So my thinking don't dictate who Jesus really is. It's the word. It's some levels in God we none of us probably never get to on earth. But just know this, it's some levels. That means he don't want you to stay on one level. Okay, I read my Bible today. I ain't going to read it tomorrow. That's a level. I read my Bible today. I'm going to read it tomorrow. My mindset is I'm going to read it every day. Because the words say I'm supposed to meditate on it day and night. But my thoughts is I'm going to read it today, but I may not get a chance to read it tomorrow. Well, he say, your thoughts and my thoughts ain't alike. I want you to meditate on my word every minute. That you conscious and aware that you need it. When you need something, it ain't hard to do.
Right.
Is it?
No, it's not.
We need to move. God don't want us in the same box. He want us to go higher. There's some people coming through these doors we got to minister to. And when we leave out of those doors, we got to minister to people. The world is already hurting. They need something. They need a revelation. They really do, because we've been hurt by these so-called church people until we've been hurt beyond recognition. Jesus will beat beyond recognition, but we've been hurt beyond recognition. It's some hurting people outside, and it's some hurting people sitting right here on the inside. And we so caught up in our little thing until we walking all over these people, don't even see them. And they reaching for God. They reaching for the God through us. And we don't even see him because we locked in our own little box. We looking at how somebody looked at us. We looking at what somebody said to us. We looking at how somebody wronged us. But we never looked at how we wronged God ourselves. It's always what somebody did to us that caused us not to believe how good God is. But what about what we've done? And God forgave us. God forgave each and every last one of us. So if he forgave us, then we ought to forgive each other. I need my mama. And I hope my mama need me. I need Sister Veronica. And I hope Sister Veronica need me. I can't effectively say I'm a Christian and I'm saved. And I ain't brought nobody to God. I can't really say that. Because my job is to win souls. Your job is to win souls. That's why he was telling Peter, I know you want me to stay here with you, James, John. But my job is to go and win the lost souls for Christ. That's what our job is, to help one another. Jesus not coming down and do it. Yeah, we'll hear Jesus if he came down and grabbed the mic. But God want us to hear Jesus through all of us, what we got to say.
Yeah.
That's how the world gonna know that we are his disciples. It's the love that we exemplify to one another. I can't see my brother down, and then I hold my feet on my brother. That's keeping my brother on one level. I got to lift my brother up and take my brother to another level. And see, that's what we're missing out because we want to do everything in our flesh. Everything about us is flesh. And God trying to get the spirit. Everything about us is what can we do to please our flesh. We got to deny ourselves, take up our cross, follow after God. It's bigger than what we can imagine. God is coming back, and he's coming back for specifics. He wasn't general about what he's looking for. He said, I'm coming back for a church without spot, blemish, or wrinkle. So not only do he want us to be clean, but he want us to be ironed out in those rough areas. He want us to be ironed out. Everything we do is supposed to be about Jesus, supposed to be about going to the next level. But why is it we so complacent in the level that we're at? Why are we so complacent? Why? Because it's something on the inside of us trying to keep us from getting to that place. The devil know us because he was in heavenly place. He know the calling on each and every last one of our lives. He don't want us to know the calling. He don't want us to realize our true potential. He don't want us to know who we really are in God. He want us to stay stagnated because every time we stagnated, he wins. Every time we off our post, he wins. Every time we stiff-necked and hard-headed, he wins. So why is he going to let us know? How he going to let us know? No, he ain't going to let us know. He want us to stay blind. He want us to stay lost. The devil is not blind. He already know his ultimate place is the lake of fire. He already know. He witnessing because he don't want to go by himself. You know how we get sometimes, well, if I got to go down, I'm taking a whole lot of people with me. Well, that's his mindset. He already know he is not the winner. He already know this. He was kicked out of heaven. He don't want us to see. He don't want us to know. We think we got a friend in him. He ain't our friend. And he doesn't play fair. He out to get us before we get him. That's why he keep us stagnated in our thinking. You can be ministering to somebody, and you can say one wrong thing to them because we get in the flesh, and they'll forget all the good that you just ministered to them about and only remember they said it was in John, but it was really in Mark, and you'll forget the whole point. And the enemy wants you to just probe on that. Yeah. They said the wrong scripture. They called out the wrong thing. They made a mistake. But the ultimate goal is, what else did they say to enlighten you? What else did they do? You'll look at one thing somebody did to you that was wrong, and you'll forget about all the good stuff that they planted in you and that they did for you because of that one incident. God don't want us to be stagnated. We are all here for his purpose. And God want us to move. Move. We got to do something. Everything, you know what? These cars have really, really made us become complacent. Because we feel like if our car down, we immobile. We can't move. Well, if you ain't got a car, you always got legs and a feet. God want us to keep moving. He don't want us to be complacent. Everywhere Jesus went, he could have rode on a donkey, but most of the time he walked, had to get there, you know, had to tell somebody. Now we got all kind of ways to get the message out. We ain't got the verbal to say it. We can text it. We can put it on Instagram. We can put it on Facebook. It's all kind of ways to get the message out, to get people moving. That's why it's called technology. Because it can go to other places that I may ordinarily couldn't reach. So it ain't no excuse why we unrevelated. It's no excuse. Because God has put it there to get the message out. All he needs is willing participants. He needs somebody that's going to sit there and text it. He needs somebody that's going to sit there and type it. He needs somebody that's going to call and say it. He needs witnesses. Are you a witness on today? Are you on God's side on today? Have God done anything on today that will cause you, that will evoke change? Has he done anything that's going to make you a better you? Yes, he's done everything. The answer is yes. Yes, 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 and yes. So what are we going to do for him? What are we going to do for him? We're going to transform. That's what we are. That's what we're going to do. We're going to be ye transformed by the renewing of our mind. So we can prove what is that acceptable will of God. You know when you're in his will and when you're not. You know when you're on his side and when you're not. God wants us to be on his side all the time. He's not a part-time lover. He's not a part-time, it's not a part-time religion. This is a full-time. I can't put it down and pick it up when I want to. I can't turn it off and turn it on when I want to. He got too many of them in the world. Turn on and turn off saints. I do it when I feel like it. I witness when I feel like it. He say your hearts are already penetrated. He ain't already penetrated your heart. The ground is already tilled. All he need now is the seed to go in. And all he need us to do is water it. So that it can grow. So if it wasn't anything said on today, check your heart. If you ain't get nothing, check your heart. Check your mind. Check the reason why you here. Because something should have been said. So I pray and hope before I go back to my seat, I pray and hope that something was said. Remember the message itself. Remember the text, the subject. Before there can be a revelation, there has to be a transformation. You can't stay the way you are and expect God to do something great. You got to change. If it's nothing more than your attitude, if it's nothing more than your heart, you know what's in you. You know, ain't nobody got to tell you the thoughts that you think. God know our thoughts, and we know our thoughts. God know the intent of our heart, and we know the intent of our heart. So on today, search your heart. Try yourself. Examine yourself and see, are you of the faith? And if you're not, you can get it right. You can turn your life around through the word of God, through the people of God. It's never too late to get on the right track. So I pray and hope something was said. At this time, stand to your feet. And we're going to pray. Bow your heads. Father God.